Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruryak. $42 million, mostly in state funding, was announced yesterday to support foster children and families, some of the most vulnerable younger Californians in the state. Some of this money going directly into the foster care system. The governor said that it includes care being extended for the approximately 200 children every month who are emancipated and would be otherwise stepping out of the system. So to get a more direct view of what this means, we're talking to a few counties in California. Nicole Williamson is on the phone. She is Administrative Officer and Director of Health and Human Services in Alpine County. Hi, Nicole. Glad to have you on Insight.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So Alpine County is in the Sierra. It's one of the least populated counties in the state. Tell me about the foster care program and this kind of network of at-risk children and families there.
So we're actually the smallest county in California. Our population is only about 1,100 people, and at any time we can have between zero and two or three children in foster care. Our foster care census is very low, and we're somewhat remote and isolated, and we sometimes have issues finding services for families. We've had a challenge recently with COVID-19 outbreak. Many of our local service providers are not able to provide face-to-face services right now for families, so we've been working trying to find video-based services for families.
So what does the governor's funding announcement mean for you? I think the way it's breaking down is some money for additional social worker outreach, for family resource centers. I mentioned this age extension. In practical terms, how would that translate in Alpine County?
Probably not very much. We don't have any emancipated youth in Alpine County right now that have aged out of the foster care or the probation system. We only have two social workers in Alpine County, and both of them are still coming to work right now. We are outreaching to families. We're still receiving child abuse referrals and still conducting investigations in person as much as possible. And we don't have any family resource centers in Alpine County.
So when you hear an announcement like this and you're there dealing with your specific families and their particular needs, do you feel that you have a voice, that there's a channel where you can reach out to someone else somewhere and say, I might not need X, Y, or Z, but I need this W over here?
Absolutely. We have reached out to California Department of Social Services with some specific issues that we have had, and we also have the ability to reach out to the County Welfare Directors Association if we had any needs that we needed their assistance with.
Tell me about the COVID-19 impact just in general, in daily life, in conversations, in a broader picture.
In Alpine County, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we've had related to COVID-19, as many of the other small counties in the Sierras, is the influx of people coming to their second homes or the influx of people still renting short-term vacation rentals and people coming here camping and recreating. We have repeatedly asked, as other small counties in the Sierras have, that people from the urban areas stay away because we don't have the healthcare system to be able to support, or even the public safety system to support, this influx of people. And many of the people are participating in sports that could lead to needing search and rescue, such as backcountry skiing and rock climbing. And we continue to see those people coming into Alpine County every day. So that really is the biggest challenge that we're facing right now. We have only one confirmed positive case in Alpine County, and so it was related to travel, and so we feel really fortunate that we haven't seen any community transmission in our county.
Are people wearing masks? Are you seeing people wearing gloves?
Our health officer did issue an order last week that all essential workers, once they go out into public, need to wear a mask. And so the county staff that are still working at the office, when they go out into the field, such as our social workers, they are required to wear a mask.
Nicole, how are you looking forward at this? I think it's interesting to hear not only the mindset, but the kind of planning for what happens as we roll back a little bit into more normal life, whatever that is going to be at this point.
We're looking, you know, as the county administrative officer, I'm looking at how to bring employees back to work. Right now, we have the majority of our workforce working from home right now with very limited staff actually present in the office. And our workforce is so small that we needed to protect not only our workforce from transmission, but also a big majority of our workforce lives outside of the county, and we didn't want our workforce bringing COVID-19 into the county and spreading it to residents. And so I think the biggest thing that we're looking at right now is how to safely bring our employees back into the office in the next few weeks.
Well, your geography, your area, of course, the wonderful small town of Markleyville, it's all such a beautiful place to be, and especially as we transition from winter into spring and wildflowers bloom. I hope that the opening goes smoothly for you up there, and it's really nice to get, even in this conversation, a bit of the fresh air from the Sierra into the imagination.
Well, thank you for having me and listening to the Alpine County perspective.
That is Nicole Williamson. She is Administrative Officer and Director of Health and Human Services in Alpine County. Now on the phone is Aaron Credison. He is Deputy Director of Child Welfare Services in Solano County. Hi, Aaron. Glad to have you on the program.
Good morning. Glad to be on.
We were talking about the foster care program and this announcement by the governor yesterday for some additional funding. What does that mean to your county? What is the picture of the foster system there?
We have over 423 kids in foster care in Solano County. What it means is kids who are out of placement in care. It allows us to really provide support services to basic needs, resources in the community. It also allows us to support foster families, and particularly since the schools are closed, that they still need to be connected for learning opportunities. And so some of the funding categories that were provided really focus on keeping kids safely out of foster care when safely possible, and also connected with their education activities when possible.
Is this age extension piece of the funding an issue for you when kids age out of the system but need additional help, for example, with food or with payments or even having a home?
Oh, absolutely. That's our non-minor dependent category, 18 to 21. He expanded that age so that no former foster youth would have to be homeless and without basic needs around food. And so that is a great addition for us to continue to support former foster youth with the expanded age.
Did the governor's announcement come as a surprise, or were you part of the conversation around this being an area of population that was going to need some relief, some support during the COVID-19 crisis?
Well, what I was excited about is April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and he announced it during the period where we recognize children who are abused and neglected, and a population that typically get overlooked. And the fact that he lifted this area up during this month where we recognize prevention and abuse was, I think, exciting that this age that requires advocacy was focused on by our governor.
So can you tell me, of the children in the system, how many are in homes right now and how many are in a waiting status, if that's the correct term?
Well, for Solano County, we have about, I would say, 36% of our kids are in relative or non-related extended family members. That could be like a coach or a teacher or some family member. We have about 32% of them in FFA type of environments. Group homes have been a focus of the state to reduce. We have about 20 kids in like a congregate care that's called STRTP today. And the remaining ones that are in guardianship. So for our county, the focus has been to step down kids in congregate care all across the state and to make sure that they're in a family-based type setting.
How are they doing with the stay-at-home orders? It's so especially hard on teenagers.
I think it's hard all across, not just California, but the nation. We are seeing a number of referrals that come to our attention around domestic violence. And so with, you know, most of the referrals typically come from schools. And so when schools are closed, children have less eyes on them by just being in a home environment. And so I think it's incredibly important for us to just remain vigilant to make sure that kids are not being mistreated while they're in a home environment.
Can you tell me some of the anecdotal information about the impact of COVID-19? And, you know, there are very wonderful silver lining stories that are going around in places where people have reached out to each other and exhibited great human spirit and values. So I don't just ask that in the sense of negative impacts, Aaron. What are you hearing from families and kids?
I think sometimes we forget that the social workers have families of their own. And so they are essential workers, and they're required to go out and continue doing investigations of abuse and neglect. So while COVID has impacted all of us, it also impacts the staff family. And as they go out to protect kids from abuse and neglect and support other families, that COVID has weaved its way into our system where we are now having to take a look differently at how we provide services. For example, if a family is sick or has a fever, instead of us going into the home, we're able to virtually connect with the family to engage the family without having to be in their presence for their protection and our protection. And so there are many different ways where the feds and the state has allowed us to virtually engage our families just for the level of protection and safety.
Is that something you would want to continue once we return to a more normal way of doing business, the virtual visits?
That's a good question. I think there is a critical element for face-to-face engagement with families. I think there are some portions where we can take a look at, while many of our staff are teleworking, some components that we may want to continue. But there's real critical need for and some face-to-face contact with families.
Well, just how in general are you doing, Aaron? Solano County was on the map as having this first community transmitted case. And so early on in the COVID-19 story across the country, Solano County was pinpointed. How's the experience there been for you and your family?
It's been interesting because Solano County is pretty rural, and we don't have the dense area like New York or L.A. And so I think today we have about 121 confirmed cases. 39 of those are active. We did make national news by having the first community transmittal, but we've not seen the type of spread some of the more dense areas are experiencing. I think our focus has been just making sure that our staff stay home, practice social distancing, and be able to engage our families and one another in a safe way.
Hmm. Amen. That sounds good for everyone.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Aaron. I'm really glad we had a chance to talk with you and that you joined us today. You stay safe and take care.
Thank you so much. Take care. Thanks for having me.
That is Aaron Credison. He is Deputy Director of Child Welfare Services in Solano County. Again, Governor Newsom holds a noon press briefing with details about what the plan would be at that future point in terms of easing restrictions in the state, along with Oregon and Washington. You'll hear that press conference at noon. And you are listening to Insight on Cap Radio. Our Uplift is next.